Okay. Now let's do this. I'm so excited. No, seriously, I'm asking, what is this show, man? Two guys making a podcast. Got a lot to say, so we talk fast. If it's Thursday night, say Atlas. Two hosts. Oh, I lost my place. Two guys making a podcast. On your Facebook feed, never bypass. Saying bad stuff, leave you flabbergast. Our smarts, not super vast.
Still.
Much better than a newscast. Miss the live show? Rebroadcast. The Tangent Podcast. Never outclass, man. Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny. Bring in the schmears. Rock for rookies represent. Let's get this show started, man. It's Tangent. It's Tangent.
It's, I like, Tangent. The part. Podcast. Yes, that's the one I was waiting for. Welcome to episode 2 of season 9 of Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny alongside Mike. I am Johnny, and we could not be more thrilled to be with you today, because if we're with you today, it means that we're both COVID-free.
COVID-free! Except for all of the things that I'm still having to deal with COVID.
What are you still dealing with?
I still have this cough. I still have a wicked cough that everybody keeps getting very angry at me about at school. Like, they always just give me that look, and it doesn't even make sense. Because I'm machlim, baby. Like, I'm post-disease, and we've been having all these arguments, and everybody keeps like, oh, maybe you're still a carrier. I'm like, dude, it has already now been 20 days since, you know, I had corona. And it's just like, but the fear from a lot of people and the worry, and I understand that that's all there. But I had like a long talk with, the medicine teacher, the woman who teaches refuah.
Okay.
And I asked her, I was like, do I still need to wear a mask? Like, what's the deal? And she's like, well, why can't you get any of the old corona? Like, why? What happens if you get Alpha and Delta and
Do they even Shabbat exist anymore?
I don't know. See, that's my question. Can you get old flus?
Can you get OG?
Can you get flu from like 4 years ago?
I don't know nearly enough about science to be able to answer that question.
But also, if I'm vaccinated, does it matter if I get the old stuff? Because the whole point is that now if I get the old stuff, it'll be a flu. It lowers the risk and it lowers the danger, and that's what the vaccine does. Right? Everybody keeps going, oh, you got corona? But I thought you were vaccinated. And you're like, that's not what the vaccine does.
Who says that?
A family member that I don't want to go into a lot of detail.
Is that family member vaccinated?
I don't know. I'm not, I don't know.
Has that family member had COVID?
Not yet, as far as I know. But they're in America, so they don't just like have the random test.
So with all due respect to that family member, tell them to go fuck themselves.
I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
Because it's a family member.
I've told my father to go fuck himself.
Right, but that's not nice.
I didn't say it was nice, I just said I said it.
Well, I can't say that.
Okay, fine.
I can't say that.
All right, fair enough. So yeah, so basically what happened was is that the reason we weren't around last week is because we were both
corona positive. Yeah, you were still last week. I had gotten out just like a few days earlier.
So basically what happened was is Michael, through his school and being a teacher and having hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of students.
By the time I got corona, I had already received at 38 different occasions you have been exposed and taught a student with.
So I was going to say 30, because I knew 30, but it's actually 38. So Michael had been exposed 38 times, and then he finally got sick. Well, wouldn't you know it, the week he got sick, he and I were together a couple of times.
And then, I don't think we were.
Yes, we were. We walked twice that week before you went in.
Outside.
We were outdoors. Okay. We were not in my apartment. But we did walk. I don't know, whatever. The point is that Saturday, I was together with a bunch of our friends.
Yeah, but a bunch of our friends also had it, and I wasn't out the Shabbat.
Closed that Shabbat.
I was closed that Shabbat. I was closed the Shabbat also before when everybody else got sick. The kids all got sick before.
The week we all got sick, you were watching us be friends from your window feeling sad. By the way, if there's anyone, it's one of our friends who said that week, as we were all hanging out in the park on Saturday afternoon, said that, isn't it weird and interesting?
Are we unmute? Is this on mute?
Oh. Why? Why was that on mute? How long was that muted?
I don't know. 1 minute ago.
All right, fine. So basically, we were muted. Sorry. We're doing this show. We're streaming it from Zoom. To Facebook, which is actually working a lot better than the actual Facebook thing worked in the past. Thanks, ER. Appreciate it.
We were talking. So 9 days ago.
Wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute.
What?
Did I?
There's like a
okay,
second and a
it
half
was
left.
So weird. It was so weird. I gave a thumbs up to the screen, and then I thought my camera could translate that into a thumbs up, but I guess somebody else had liked it. So,
I actually think it's cool that if you really want to make yourself feel positive, just look at that screen, give yourself a thumbs up, and then you're going to give
A few seconds later, I'll give myself another thumbs up.
Oh, look at it. Here it goes. Here it goes. Be positive.
I'm being positive.
No, I'm asking myself to look positive.
All right.
Yeah, you too, buddy.
You like you ever okay? Anyway, so like that Sunday, it was more like that Sunday I started to feel a little bad. Monday I had a project to finish for work, but I was feeling like really bad.
Yeah.
And then after I got the project done, I was like, all right, I'm just gonna let myself go now. And then I started to feel even worse. And then when I got good feedback from the project, and I fully said, okay, now I can just be sick for a while, I was like, oh, I feel terrible. And then I came back positive that the next day. I wasn't positive yet that day, even though I was already having the...
I had, the week before, been in a sports... the teachers now, they're forcing us. I signed up for a sports Hishtalmut, which is the Minister of Education's trying to get us teachers to constantly be... continuing our own education and becoming better teachers. Mm-hmm. And some genius had the idea to let the sports teachers teach us. So now we have like a lesson that's physical and then a lecture about like health and then a lesson doing exercise. And they're trying to teach us like good habits to take care of ourselves as teachers. And I've already done like Pilates and I've done random, sit-ups and push-ups, and we played volleyball for 2 hours. And
oh yeah, that's when you did the stuff with the other teachers.
Yeah, right? So it was really cool. So anyway, they worked us to the bone. I was super achy, and I'd had a cold the week before I got sick. And I was like, you know what? I'm feeling terribly run down. I took Wednesday off. I took Thursday off. I watched some movies with Shalva. I was having a great time, and then I took a nap, right?
Okay.
And I woke up from that nap, and I was like, Michael, you're really doing good self-care. You're taking care of you're being healthy. You're letting your body, you're taking your time. You're going to come back better. You're going to be great.
You earned this heroin.
I pick up my phone, and there were two messages going, you've been exposed twice. And I was like, but I haven't been in school in the last 2 days. And it was like, Monday. And I was like, 72 hours. And then I was like, hey, Ellie, I was exposed twice while I was taking a nap. Let's take a test. Positive. And then we laughed, and we thought it was funny, and I went in to be dude, and then I woke up Friday morning, and I couldn't get out of bed. And then the day just got consecutively worse, and then there were chills, and then my back started to hurt, and then Shabbat came, and I was like, crouched in my bedewed chair, eating, chicken soup. And by the time we got to dessert, I had passed out. Like asleep in the chair, and then I just moved to the bed, and I slept for 14 hours.
I wish I had been able to sleep for that length of time.
I went to bed every day before 9 o'clock for 6 days straight. Never in my, not in the last 20 years.
Right, so I was going to bed quite early as well.
It was...
But I wasn't sleeping terrifically. But yeah, I had the weakness and the chills and the low-grade fever and all that. But the worst symptom for me was the brain fog.
Brain
fog. I had this intense brain fog. I just felt dumber. I kept referring to it for people who play role-playing games or Pathfinder or Dungeons & Dragons. It was basically a two-point drop on my wisdom. I still had the intelligence. In other words, if I wanted to, I knew how to go to the kitchen to make myself like an egg and cut up some vegetables to eat. But I did not have the wisdom to accomplish that. I had the intelligence. It was just this fog in my head. And then basically, I just like ordered out and like ordered everything delivery and just kind of hung out in my apartment. It could have been way worse.
I just want to point out, and I think it's cool, that again, and I don't know where we're going over the next few years, but I kind of feel like now I'm like super... I can super say that I lived through a pandemic.
Because
I got the disease. So now in like 30 years from now when I'm 100, I'll be able to be like, well, you don't even know. And they'll be like, Dad, we're on COVID-27.
I will say this. Kol hakavod and great job to us and all our friends that it took 2+ years...
But this one was the big one.
Okay.
But this one was like...
This was the one that you didn't have a control over because it just ripped through everybody.
It ripped through everybody. My dad was very impressed and I made it 3 weeks through the ripping before I finally got it.
It was more than that because it was starting to happen when I was in America. And by the way, I was in America and I was nothing. I didn't get it. I was fine. So anyway, so that's basically our adventure regarding the... That's basically our adventure regarding COVID. I don't want to spend the entire episode talking about that because...
I just like that we can tell
that story. I
gotta
be honest with you. It's boring. But I will say that it was weirdly nice to just... I didn't leave. I obviously didn't go anywhere or do anything. I was just kind of home.
9 days in quarantine was effing hell.
I would go from my bed to my chair where I work. I would look at my work stuff. I'd work for about an hour maximum, and then my brain would go, I hurt, go rest. And then I would go from there to the couch, and then from the couch, I would go to eat some lunch, and then from there, I would go to take a nap, and then come right back to the couch. It was awesome in that way.
Yeah, because it was 9 days.
Listen,
of forced
also,
rest.
It's
and...
harder, in a way, it was harder for you because you were locked in your bedroom. I had my entire 3-bedroom apartment to myself. So in the later days where I was starting to feel better, I was able to, I would just like wander around. I was just like wandering around my apartment just to get some steps in anyway. All right, so we have a bunch of stuff we can talk about tonight. And I do want to talk about those things. But the question that I want to ask you, Michael, is where do you want to start?
I would like to start. Let's go. Let's start with.
And by the way, this
so
one
difficult.
we can skip this if you want to, but because we can talk. Well, this is definitely plenty of content. But where do you want to start?
I would like to start with. Let's start with Whoopi Goldberg.
Okay, we'll start with Whoopi Goldberg.
Excellent meme today, Johnny.
Thank you, sir.
Excellent meme.
Thank you. Yeah, I was proud of that one.
I couldn't think of any Whoopi Goldberg. You could have put her on Star Trek. You could have put her at the... I'm sure there's a meme with her.
In 10 Forward.
Yeah, we could have done that. We could have done...
Well, I tell you
I
what
know
I...
know what else she was
I didn't,
in.
I didn't want to put her in The Color Purple.
What
Let's
else
see.
Was she in? What else? Anybody who's watching? Whoopi
By
Goldberg?
By the way, Whoopi Goldberg, to her credit, is one of the, I think, 12 or 13 humans... that have ever existed, that has an EGOT. She has an EGOT.
What's an EGOT?
She has an Emmy, a Grammy, a Tony, and an Academy Award.
Oh, wow.
So
she's
an incredibly, incredibly, what's it called? A varied and interesting career. You want to go through her credits real quick?
I just want to see what else would have been a good...
So you would have known...
Ghost
for sure, and Soap Dish. The
but
Color
she wasn't
Purple.
A main character.
The Color Purple made her a star. Then she made a bunch of crap. Ghost is a big hit. Soap Dish, Sister Act.
Yeah. She had a cameo. the Lion King. We could have put her as...
She was one of the hyenas. That I do remember as well.
The Page Master, Little Rascals.
Boys and on the Side.
And we must have... I must have lost her at this point.
Yeah, I mean, but look, she's done a million, a billion
things. Yeah, but none of this is like... Rat Race. She was in Rat Race. That was a funny scene. She had a moment.
Okay, anyway. That's it. Sorry, so so she was on her show, The View.
Oh, we could have done the tic-tac-toe celebrity thing.
The associate, Joseph Bynes says. And he also says Jumping Jack Flash and Ghost. So she was on her show, The View, and they were talking about the situation that happened at a school, a very small school district in Virginia. And the story there is that they decided that for their 8th grade Holocaust education curriculum,
I'm all cut up.
They would no longer be teaching
Mouse.
And the reason, whether you agree with it or not, is that there is some brief nudity and some degree of coarse language.
And that was the reason they wanted
to... Those were the reasons why. Now, you have to understand, Virginia is a red state, which means they're very conservative, which means that's the kind of stuff that they're trying to keep their kids from seeing. Okay. Now, whether you agree with them or not, they were not changing their... They're not ending their Holocaust education program. They're just decided that this book isn't the right book for us anymore. And by the way, you could make every argument you want against them about it. One second. What I want to know, though, and then I want to kind of put that aside. What I want to know, though, is if it was a blue state, you know, if it was a liberal left-wing school district that did the same thing, how would the media have reacted to it, right? Because in this case, everybody
lost... Well, what would their reasoning have been?
What would their reasoning have been?
Because the book doesn't portray cats in a good way?
Because, it makes people uncomfortable. I don't know.
What's... Why are you calling my cat a
Nazi? But I will say this. If you're Art Spiegelman, this is a good thing to happen to you. Why? Because Mouse is now currently in the...
Number best
two on Amazon.
Well, I mean, it wasn't number one.
It was number one briefly. Now it's number two, but the complete collection with both volumes is number two. But the other two single volumes are on the list as well. So he is now making bank because people are buying his books again. So good for you, Art Spiegelman. You deserve it.
No, but also, think that means tons of people are going to read this amazing, amazing book. I discovered Mouse in the Hebrew Academy library in 1992. I was 10. That was not an appropriate book for me.
I was also far too young to read it when I read it. And where did I read it for the first time? A shout out to our buddy Joe Bine. I read it at his house. It was his dad's copy, and it disturbed me in ways that since then I have not been disturbed since. It was one of the most gut-wrenching things I've ever read in my life.
I went to the school library, and I looked around, and I found it at Blich. I found it in Hebrew. And I went to the librarian, and I'm like, you have this big table of books that you guys are always trying to recommend to all the kids come in. It's time.
Put this on there.
Yeah, and he did.
Great. That's excellent.
Yeah.
So shout out to Joe, his dad, who was an awesome guy.
Haven't read Mouse, it's just so... It's so cool. I'm worried that people buy it just to have it and they might not read it.
I hope they read it.
My father got me a copy of the graphic novel Anne Frank.
Okay.
Right? I never read it. I haven't read it yet. And it's been like 3-4 years.
Interesting.
It's just on my shelf.
Who's it by?
I don't know. I know that it went through like a whole political, like, it took years to get it done because they wanted it to be the most respectful. And there were like 6 organizations that all got involved in this poor guy who was trying to turn her book, her diary, into a graphic novel.
So the ladies on The View, who, by the way, are all deeply trained in history, and they all have PhDs, and they all know, they're like, one of them is specifically a Holocaust expert, and the rest of them are, no, I'm joking, they're not. They're just like comedians and famous people.
Yeah, but she's a goat, you said.
Who?
Whoopi Goldberg.
She's got an EGOT.
Oh, an EGOT.
But she's not a GOAT. By the way, here's the other thing.
EGOT, like, could also be GOAT.
Here's the other thing. Like, has anybody ever read the origin story for how Whoopi Goldberg got the name Goldberg?
She changed it to help her in
Hollywood.
She
just, like, took it. Like, and by the way, you know me. I think that most accusations of cultural appropriation are bullshit. However, I do think it's funny that nobody's ever been like, hey, Whoopi, how come you have a Jewish last name? Why is it okay for you to have a Jewish last name?
But because she did it before culture.
Again, I don't care. I just think it's funny that nobody...
Yeah, if the Indians had to change their name...
A lot of people get very uptight about these sort of things, and I am surprised that they haven't...
Maybe because it's a Jewish
name. Haven't said anything. For those of you who don't know, the term GOAT stands for a greatest of all time, which is weird, by the way. At one point, okay, we used to call, all right, I'm going to go on a MVPs. Crazy, this is tangent, yeah. For those of you who don't know, I'm about to go on a crazy jag, okay? Here we go. In Super Bowl 25, okay, Bills versus Giants, Scott Norwood, the kicker for the Bills, could have kicked a field goal to win the Super Bowl for his team. He missed it. And for missing it, they used to call you a GOAT for missing that, like that you failed something. And then recently, in the last like 5 or 10 years, now the term GOAT means greatest of all time.
I know that LL Cool J has an album called GOAT.
Well, he's referring to greatest of all time. He's not referring to a GOAT for having missed
it. I'm just saying, why do you get an EGOT and not a GOAT?
Because there's no A.
Oh. G-O-T-E, GOAT.
Like G-O-A-T.
No, I know how the real word GOAT. I'm just wondering, why is it called an EGOT and not a G-O-T-E? That's the same abbreviation.
I think it's because it's alphabetical.
How many of them?
E-G-O-T.
She's got GOATs, baby.
Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. Okay, anyway. Okay. What were we saying? By the way, Joe says she made herself famous doing a skit called California Girl. How come no one blames her for acting white? By the way, Eddie Murphy did a whole skit about where he wears quote unquote white face, and it's about how white people act when black people aren't around. Have you ever seen that skit from Saturday Night Live? It's hilarious. It's one of the funniest things ever. Basically, it's like all this stuff. Like, whenever the black people leave because he's in whiteface, then the white people automatically just start, like, doing all this amazing stuff. Like, right, he's riding a bus. When the last black person who's on the bus gets off, they start throwing a party, and, like, a woman starts giving out, lighting cigarettes and giving out champagne. And the best one is he goes to get, like, a loan. And there's a black banker, and he's like, I can't give you, you have no ID, who are you, right? And then a white manager comes in, dismisses the black guy, and he leans into Eddie Murphy's character. He goes, "What a silly Negro!" And then they start laughing about it. He goes, "So what do you want?" And he goes, "I'd like a loan." And he does this like, "I'd like a loan," you know, his crazy like white guy voice. And the guy goes, "Okay, sure. How much you want? $10,000? $20,000? Pay us back whenever, or not at all." Anyway, it's super funny, and nobody cares. And it's the same thing. Dan Aykroyd did blackface in Coming to America.
Did he?
Oh my God. Did he? Yes, he did.
I'm sorry, I don't remember that. I've seen Coming to America many times.
Dan Aykroyd definitely did blackface. And there it is. Oh, Trading Places, excuse me. Oh. He did it in Trading Places. Anyway, okay. So they're talking about
So did Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. did it in a way where he, like, gamed the system. And he did it so cleverly. He did it so cleverly, he was nominated for an Oscar for that role. Isn't that amazing?
That's crazy.
Because the joke was that the guy was terrible for doing it. Like, anyway. So the women on The View are talking about this whole situation. And Whoopi Goldberg went on to say that she thought the Holocaust wasn't about race, and she tried to say that Jews aren't a race, right? Because as Jews, especially as Eastern European, westernized Jews, we are what they call white presenting, meaning If I walk down the street in the United States and I'm not wearing a kippah, nobody's going to immediately assume I'm a Jew.
Yeah.
So they can lump us in and they say, no, Jews are white people. When, if you take Hitler at his own words, in his book that he wrote, he literally says, you might think that the Jews are a religion, but no, in fact, they are a race. So Whoopi Goldberg was wrong.
I am curious as to how many Haredim quoted Hitler in saying that Hitler said, you know, whatever, that by going by what Hitler said. Why? Because so many Haredim disagree with the fact that Russians can come here at a third time, you know, removed.
Oh, that's interesting.
But Hitler said it, and the Haredim were like,
Hitler Schmittler. That's an interesting Hitler question. Schmittler. I think that will put us too in the weeds to go down that.
I'm just saying.
Yes, it's a very interesting question. So she says Jews are white, and that we're not a race, and so it was just like human beings being white.
So she's white on white.
Yeah, white human beings being terrible to other white human beings.
But her words were like white on white killing.
Well, she didn't say it.
I think she did.
Verbatim.
She said white on white. I can't remember whatever the word was.
Oh, it could be. And so she got in a lot of trouble. And then she went and wrote a sort of an apology. Where are you looking for?
I just went back to the Facebook.
And she wrote out an apology. And I read the apology and it was fine. It was whatever. It was exactly what you would expect it to be. But then she went on Stephen Colbert. And Colbert...
She went on Colbert before her apology. It was recorded in the afternoon.
Oh, but it aired after.
Yes.
Ah, I see. So she hadn't apologized yet when she recorded her segment on Colbert, which is why she was still doubling down. That makes so much more sense now. Excellent. Thank you for explaining that. But she did double down. And after she did apologize to have that air... It was at the very least a bad look. She said one thing, and I'm trying to find where I have it, that was really weird. She goes, this is what she said on Colbert. It wasn't based on the skin, she said. You couldn't tell who was Jewish. They had to delve deeply to figure it out. My point is they had to do the work. And in fact, I think that that also is completely incorrect, because I guess it would be different if you're talking about the Jews who were practicing and non-practicing, right? Because if you're talking about pre-World War II, there were maybe millions of Jews in Europe who were just tried to make themselves seem like they were just people, right? However, if you're part of the Haredi or the shtetl community, you had a uniform.
Yeah.
You looked Jewish. You had a big scraggly beard. You had a weird looking furry hat on. You wore a long coat and a white shirt underneath. Like, you looked... Nobody was going to look at you and be like, wow, that Asian man is really...
I told a story about you in school this week.
Okay.
Okay? We are learning...
Once again, this is Tangent Podcast.
We are learning a story called Rules of the Game, which is a single chapter out of the Joy Luck Club book.
By Amy Tan,
right? And the section that we have is when she's a little girl winning chess championships and stuff like that. And the whole beginning of it is just a crazy description of Chinatown and the kind of foods they eat and what everything looks like, and it's really crazy. And I tried to convince them that they had a world like that down the street. That if they wanted to see a crazily different culture, all they have to do is go to...
What?
Nabrak.
Right.
Did you miss all that?
Yes.
Okay. You did miss all of it.
Yeah, I said I did. I'm telling you the truth.
I was trying to convince them that just like Chinatown exists in San Francisco, and the white people around and the regular Americans go to Chinatown and go, whoa, different culture, that they themselves could go do that in Bnei Brak if they wanted to. And just see a completely different world with different strange cultures, right? Mm-hmm. And I was saying to them, like, you go into Bnei Brak, you can get, like, cholent. Just like a restaurant that sells cholent. And you could probably buy, you know, gribnis. And they went, what? And I said, okay, so here's the story. And I told them the entire story about we went to John's wedding in Budapest.
Yes.
And they tried to get us kosher food, but
They got us kosher food. And it was pretty good.
They Googled Jewish food. or they went to the most Haredi rest, because we got the most Haredi Jew, like, we got the jelly. They gave us
that. Wait, what was combining it? The jelly was Shabbos food in the restaurant.
No, they gave us something jelly stuff. Yeah.
Also at the
Those
restaurants are probably the people who are the jellied cow knuckle.
The jellied cow.
Oh, that's pachah.
Pachah, I guess. So we got that, and then they gave us the gribness, and I'm like, guys, you don't know what gribness is? And they're like, what? And I was like, it's the chicken skin. And it's like deep fried.
It's fried in schmaltz.
Fried in schmaltz. I forgot the schmaltz part of
it.
And they were like freaking out. And I was like, yeah. And then I went on to tell them, because the rules of the game is about like immigrants and different cultures. So I told about the time that Ellie accidentally bought 4 kilo of chicken feet.
Yes, I remember that.
So you remember that? So then I told them, and then we did the most racist thing we could think of. We got in touch with the one Japanese person that we knew and asked him if he wanted chicken feet. But guys, it was okay, because he also acted racistly, because he accepted. And it was great. I got to tell the gribness story.
Gribness, first of all, are delicious. If you don't...
I wish they had been hot when we ate
them. If you don't keep kosher...
They were just like room temperature.
If you don't keep kosher, then you might have tried fried pork rinds. It's literally the same thing, just with chicken. It's terrible for you, but gosh darn it, does it taste great. And of course, it also is my favorite line from maybe from any Robin Williams movie, in Mrs. Doubtfire, where he says, "Never buy gribbiness from Moel. It's so chewy."
That was in Mrs. Doubtfire?
Yes, yes. Ugh. So the issue comes from the real main issue from what Whoopi Goldberg was saying is that what she's doing is she's basically making Jews white people.
Which we are not.
We're not. We are Semites. What's up?
I'll just keep going. I'm listening.
So she... What? Why are you doing that?
Because now our shirts are in the right direction.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I like that. So she, I'm trying to remember, because I've listened to a very good breakdown of it. Social groups, especially racial groups, it has to do with something called intersectionality. And the way I saw it explained was that it's like you're saying, oh, I can't be racist against a group that is my social, that is higher up on the social ladder than I am.
You can't be racist against people
who are doing better than you.
You can just judge them and
No. Meaning you can say whatever you want about them and it doesn't count as racism.
Oh, because they're... Because
they're better, I don't know, because they're ahead of you in the... They're ahead of you in the social order or whatever it is.
So Jews, as a result of being successful... As all having oil and money?
Wait. We'll get to your question in a second. So Jews, as a result of being white-presenting and successful, are put up to that level to where you'll say, well, I can't be... Well, this black person can't be racist again. It's not racism if a black person says something nasty to a Jew.
I thought Obama ended all of that.
I'm sorry to tell you, but under his watch is when it started to get much
worse. No, I mean, once there was an African-American president, I thought, you know, all bets were off. That, you know, you can succeed, and that was a proof of that, and now we're all equal.
Are they?
Oh, I mean, in a world, in a better world, we could go, you guys managed to get yourselves a president. We're all on the same footing here.
Yeah, but we had like 44 presidents that were before that.
Right, but once you set a precedent about
I'll tell you. Once you set a presidential precedent, now go ahead. What were you gonna say?
My version was just fine. I'm just saying. I wish we could just call it a day, you know, and stop with all the fighting. It would be nice because you know they have a president.
Okay.
I'm told
that I'm wrong, but that intersectionality is the idea that people of suffering are aligned through joint suffering, but that's not true, because if that was the case, then blacks and Jews would have a much better relationship. So, I mean, okay, I guess.
Aren't aren't a lot of gay people white presenting?
What? But gay isn't a race.
I know it's not a race. I'm just saying, shouldn't they get a pass?
What do you mean white presenting?
Meaning they white are a community. Hold on, let me explain it. All right. They're a community of people who have issues with other people, right? People hate them. They don't have rights. There's issues, homophobia, fine, right? But they can blend in with society.
Okay.
So
no, what you're talking about,
how come that never comes up? How come
you're talking about
how come with Jews? How come with Jews being white?
You're saying straight presenting, not white.
No, fine, but it's both. They are white. Gay people can also be white people, and they can hide the thing that causes, you know, straight presenting. Fine, perhaps that is what I meant.
Okay.
But nobody ever says that to them.
Says what?
No one ever accuses them of being able, like, your problem isn't such a big problem because you can hide it.
I believe that would probably be conversation that the people in the LGBTQ community have. In the sense that some people carry themselves in a more colorful or flamboyant or outgoing or effervescent way. And that is becomes a target for people who are homophobic or anti whatever, and then there are just people who are just people who look like whatever, and you would, like, for example,
I'm just saying it's not something I've ever heard before.
Your buddy at school who's a homosexual. Yeah. If I didn't know he was a homosexual, I wouldn't think about it. I would just be like, here's a guy, he's a nice guy, I like him. That's all.
Yeah.
Okay, he's also gay, and that's fine. I don't care one way or the other. Whatever he is, he's just a nice guy. But I wouldn't have assumed it automatically if it wasn't told to me.
Yeah, he kind of introduced himself that way to me. That's
another matter. So he said straight passing. Yes, so yes, that's what it was. Not straight passing.
I was just like, I'd never heard anybody accuse that community of ever being able to do that. I mean, I don't hang out on any of the boards usually, but I think it's, you know, the people accuse Jews of that. I'm just wondering. Keep going.
Okay. No, popping. I don't have
it's
much.
Popping. We've missed a bunch.
I don't have much more to say. I was just wondering what you. My personal feeling on the matter is as follows.
We're talking about Whoopi again.
Back to Whoopi, I want to talk about something else because we've dominated.
I love
the show
Sister
there.
Act.
I like Sister Act too. It's a very funny movie.
Yeah.
I think that what she said was ignorant. Do I think she needs to be kicked off television? No. What I wish would happen, and what I wish was the what would happen everywhere is, and this is it also goes with the whole all these artists taking their music off of Spotify
Rogan.
This is sort of dovetailing one way or the other.
What we're seeing
here is once again the death of conversation, the death of nuance, the death of people being able to communicate, whether especially when they are misinformed, disagree, or don't carry the same values or knowledge or understanding. It's just a wasteland. And it goes into the next topic, but go ahead. What do you want to say?
Okay. So I don't know if that's true, what you just said, because the Anti-Defamation League, their job has always been, as long as I can remember since I was a kid, is if somebody says something not nice about the Holocaust, they go, that's not nice, you can't say that about the Holocaust. They've been doing that for 30 years, shutting people up and making people apologize.
Who's they?
The Anti-Defamation League.
I was reading that, like, the ADL, that they're full of shit these days too, because they changed the definition of anti-Semitism as they saw. I don't know.
Okay, I'm just saying, but that group have been doing this thing for 30, 40, 50 years.
Right, because
so, I mean, just making people apologize. I don't think people used to get fired back in the day or removed or whatever, but they made people apologize. They've been doing that for a bajillion years.
Listen, if you went on television, can you imagine what would happen if you said, the Holocaust is white people's slavery? If you said that on television in America, can you imagine what would happen to you?
Somebody recently quoted, somebody said to me, that black people, African Americans, are like, we have been suffering for 400 years and we've been, you know, we were turned slaves for 400 years.
Right.
And just like, but We've been going through this shit for 2,000 years.
Except that when we came to
America... And no one gives a shit about us.
Except for the fact that when Jews came to America, they got citizenship and didn't have the... They didn't have to go through Jim Crow laws. They didn't have to go through...
You're right. No. 1,000%. But in America... They couldn't or chose not to make laws specifically against Jews, though I distinctly remember there being country clubs and places in Texas that we were not allowed to join. I don't know if you had that in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not just that. Plus, there was anti-Semitism, which was a thing in the South, and Jewish homes were also, the KKK was after them as well, and in 1939, there was a Nazi rally that filled up Madison Square Garden in 1939.
Yeah,
Johnny.
Sure.
So I'm just like, yeah, they gave us citizenship because they were giving it out to everybody. When the Jews came here, we came with the Italians, and then we came with the poor.
The Jews didn't need a civil rights movement.
No, they didn't, but they did arrive in America, and while hatred against the Irish and the Polish people who came here, and as those people became Americanized, they just melded with America. And the Jews stayed Jews.
Yes. And by the way,
there was,
like,
still hatred. You're right. It wasn't governmental. It was just accepted by everybody, and nobody gave a shit about it, and there weren't protests for it.
And when we were
looking didn't get to protest for it.
To protest for what?
I'm saying is that, yes, the black protest, by the way, I'm teaching Langston Hughes and Martin Luther King right now in class, and it's so awesome and
okay,
fun.
Cool.
I'm just like, I'm thinking about it now. Yes, because the government had created laws, people were allowed to go out and protest and say, you need to make a switch, and there's a law, and you guys are treating us terribly, and everything sucks. And everything about that is 100% true. But anti-Semitism followed us to America, killed Jews also throughout the years in America, and we never got a, when is anti-Semitism going to stop? When are you going to create harsher laws for that? When are you going to work on it?
If there's one
thing...
There
was no changes for us.
If there's one thing that I think I learned this week, especially in the wake of the Amnesty International thing, and I'm not going to go into it, and we're not going to talk about it on the show because I don't want to. It's too frustrating.
No, I'm not... I'm sorry, Natana. I know it's not a competition... And I'm not trying to make the comparison. I'm kind of using the Dave Chappelle method of, I'm talking about this issue to highlight another issue. You know, like, I'm just bringing it up as, how come? It's the same thing we do with the UN. How come you condemn us, but you don't condemn them? It's the same argument.
And with the death of nuance and the death of conversation. I'm just leaning over here because I'm trying to see the thing. Basically, I could just move the microphone. Duh. There. Now I don't have to look like I'm farting every time. By the way, I do have terrible gas this evening. In case you were all wondering, I took my daughter to McDonald's for dinner, and that always ends with me having...
I lost my smell because of Corona.
Did you?
No, I just don't want to make them feel awkward that I have to smell you all evening.
I haven't actually been farting now, but anyway, the point is that along with the death of nuance and conversation, another nail in its coffin was the situation with Spotify, right? So Joe Rogan, who's Spotify's $100 million man, I listen to his show infrequently. I like him, actually, because he's a really interesting guy. He has.
Have you ever watched his stand-up? There's two of them on Netflix.
Yeah, he's
They're
pretty
really
funny.
Funny.
He's pretty
funny,
funny, too. And he's got this amazing podcast where he talks to some of the most interesting people. I like podcasts that are long, right? So that I can let it stretch out and listen to it over. And it's like, hour. His episodes are like 3.5 hours long. They're long. And he has really interesting guests, but I only listen to episodes when there's a guest on that I like, that I know, that I want. Anyway, so he's been very critical of the vaccine mandates and stuff like that in America. When he got COVID, he has access to stuff that we don't have access to, which is he was able to, like, have vitamin C drips going into his arm. Like, he would give himself IVs, and he had intravenous fluids at his house. He had all this stuff prepared for himself. Fine. One of the things he was taking was something called ivermectin. Now, I don't know what it is, but what I do know is that they are trying very hard to not give it any credence
publicly because the emergency laws that the United States are using in order to make this vaccine mandate stuff and to get the vaccines pushed through and to get them approved faster without real testing the way the FDA would want them to do it previously is because they must show that there is no other reasonable way to survive or to treat this thing, right? And if this ivermectin stuff works, well, then that means that legally the United States can't use their emergency powers to force everybody to take vaccines anymore, and they'll have to actually start to investigate, and they don't want to do that. So they have to, no, there's nothing else. There's only vaccines. That's all you can have, right? So Joe Rogan says, that's bull crap. I have all this stuff, and he talks to people. He's allowed to talk. He's allowed to talk to whoever the fuck he wants. Okay? All these artists start going, okay, fine, Spotify. Either Joe Rogan goes or we go. Why? Why? For what? Okay? You know what would
they
be?
They think they're saving lives, Johnny.
You know what would save lives? If Neil Young would have said, hey, Joe, I disagree with you. Let me come on your show and we'll talk about it. And I'll tell you a whole bunch of crazy, cool stories about when I was a rock star in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
That's what David Draymond did. David Draymond shouted out Joe Rogan and he's like, if you're interested.
About
because
what?
David Draymond
when?
Said,
when?
Like this week, okay. It was about the whole Neil Young thing. David Draymond was like, that's retarded. Anybody should be able to say whatever it is that they want to say.
Right.
He's like, Joe, like, there should not be any censoring whatsoever. That's super dangerous. I'm not saying I agree with Joe Rogan, but I'm saying he has the right to say whatever he wants to say. And that closing people down is not the way to go.
Freedom of speech does not mean freedom from consequences. These aren't consequences. Consequences would be if Spotify said, give us our $100 million back and take a hike. This is a bunch of stuck-up artists being douchebags. What consequence? The only consequence is that you can't listen to Neil Young music on Spotify anymore. That's the con. It doesn't hurt Joe Rogan at all. It doesn't hurt him anyway. And Kolak a vote to Spotify for sticking with him. Because it would be dumb and stupid if they fired him.
Yeah,
because
he's got the number one podcast in the world.
So I just find the whole thing to be incredibly distasteful. Joni Mitchell jumped on the bandwagon. What
a bunch of people have.
What would it have hurt anybody to sit down and talk about it? I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. You go, okay, I disagree with Joe Rogan. Now every user on Spotify can't listen to my music anymore. Oh, wow. You got me. Now listen, I like Neil Young, and I have, at least I used to have, a number of his songs on my playlist.
I had one.
What song? Keep on Rocking in the Free
Keep
World.
Keep on Rocking in the Free World. I don't need it. I'm sure I can find a cover of Kid Rock doing it.
Old Man, and If I Can See You Dance, Then You Really Like It.
Oh, Crosby, Stills, and Nash have also taken all their stuff off now.
Have they?
Yeah. CSNY's gone off Spotify.
I have to say this. I adore Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
I know.
I want to see. Where's my phone? I want to see my Spotify playlist now.
No, come on.
All right, we'll look later, and I'll let you guys know.
We'll post some playlists.
But I love. Oh, there, my phone's over there. I love.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I can't even tell you. I love them.
Anyway, so they took. Did they take all their solo music off too? Do I know some more Stephen Stills?
Maybe.
All right, I'm just going to look this up real quick. What did you want to... Did you have anything that you wanted to add to that?
I mean, it's kind of that same argument over why in God's name is anybody listening to celebrities over
all my
garbage.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash music is still on here.
Okay, great.
So, it's only three songs, but still. Teach Your Children, by the way. If you guys want to listen to a song that will break your heart and lift you up at the same time, listen to the song Teach Your Children. It's about the inability of the Vietnam era generation to speak to their parents and their parents' inability to speak to them, and it tries to be hopeful for the future.
Just like Mouse.
Brené Brown. Okay, a woman named something.
posted a well-thought-out take on Joe Rogan on whether she's going to leave Spotify or not. She talks about censorship and how the rush to silence could potentially give him more validity.
Yeah, silence him and people want to know what's being silenced. Ban Mouse and everybody wants
ban
to
ban Mouse
buy it.
And surprise, it's number one on the bestseller list. But they didn't ban it. They just said, we're going to use a different book. And I disagree with their choice because I thought I had read that they were going to go with the book, The Boy with the Striped Pajamas. But I don't, I would prefer them to use something that was written by, from the perspective of a Jewish person, right? Because isn't that from a German boy's perspective? So
I just gave it as a book report.
So well, that's fine. It's a, I'm sure it's a valuable book that's important to read, but I would prefer if it was
the
something
wave.
That came from a Jewish
no,
perspective.
No, that's also not from a Jewish perspective.
Anyway, so that's Neil Young, and what are you going to do?
You know what? We have a friend whose name I'm not going to throw. He's a rocker. And his life was changed by Joe Rogan. Did you know that?
No.
A rocker friend of ours started listening to Joe Rogan and changed his life around and stopped doing drugs and tried to fix themselves because of inspirational shit he had heard on Joe Rogan.
That's excellent.
Yeah. I just thought, and so I that guy obviously does good things as well. And I'm not throwing out something that's good. That's what Doctor Who teaches us. That just because nobody's all good or all bad. And the good doesn't cancel out the bad, and the bad doesn't cancel out the good. Unless you've raped kids, and then it's all over. And the last thing we were going to talk about was Mrs. TikTok.
There were more things, but I don't feel like... Here's my thing about that. I don't feel like in the next 8 minutes that we're going to do her justice.
Oh, are we stopping in 8 minutes?
I mean,
is
I want...
Is there a specific time that you wanted to
we
stop
We do
it?
This show for an hour. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, we usually just go until we're finished.
Okay, fine. So, fuck it. Let's talk about her. So
what's her name? I'm sorry.
Her name is Miriam Anzavin. She is going to be the first Miss Tangent.
Miss Tangent? Really?
We're I already miss... said... See, she basically does a breakdown of Daily Dafyomi with a lot of humor and a lot of meme speak. A couple of cuss words here and there, and just like a young and fresh and interesting take on Torah, and she's making it accessible for people who wouldn't have had it accessible before.
Why not?
What?
That's my argument. That's my
Why
question.
Why would they
have
this? Because they're not learning on their own. They're not doing Dafyomi.
So you let's say you're not doing Dafyomi, right? Do you think you could be like, okay, you remember we were talking on our album group about Eddie Murphy movies, and Elliot said to you that his favorite Eddie Murphy movie is Golden Child, right?
He didn't say it was his favorite. He just said he really liked it.
Oh, okay, fine. I apologize. Okay? So in the movie Golden Child, he enters some temple. I can't remember which religion it's from, so I'm not going to try to fake it, but they had a prayer wheel. Okay? And how does a prayer work? It has all the words on it, and you spin it once, and Akilu says the prayers for you. Right?
Is it? So, does it automatically go in order of the words of the prayer?
No, it's just
a
big round thing, and you just go, and it just spins a little bit, and you've said your prayers.
Okay.
And I kind of want, I've always thought about like the concept of like if we could do that with benching. You know, if we just sort of like touch a thing, and we're like, benched, you know, click the button, and then we benched, right? You can't go, man, I should really start doing Dafyomi.
Wouldn't count it as Dafyomi, but people are learning things about the Talmud who maybe wouldn't have been learning
before. Are they like
do I know who every single do I know who every single one of her fans are?
I'm saying I only watched one video and she explained a scene from
so I've
the
watched
Dafyomi.
Like four or five now.
Okay, so I'm asking you, from watching her video, do you get anything of value from it? Are you learning any of the stuff that
yes.
you were learning Gemara? Like
No. Wait a minute. It's a cute little 1 to 2 minute little Dvar Torah.
Right, it's just like a little scene. Like
it's
she
a
found
snippet.
A funny scene that she could
it's
make.
A, well,
fun.
She talks about what's happened on the daf of that day. Meaning it's Dafyomi.
I know, but isn't like when you learn Torah, the whole concept is you're learning something that is supposed to aid you in being a person of value.
It can. Today the video that she had that she put out or yesterday, whatever, the last one that I watched was about a story about how to treat people when they're in mourning.
Okay. And it went through a story. She had a case in the Gemara where she talked about it. And it was interesting and it was cool.
So, but I also happen to have, like, personally, because I spent years in yeshiva day schools and in yeshiva, so, like, I have experience learning Talmud, so it's not, like, a new, fresh thing to me.
So, for her, it's the same thing that we just spoke about. It kind of all comes together and it's all connected. Mouse and Joe Rogan and people canceling each other. Because I don't know if people are watching her videos. Like, if I had to guess, I would say the number would be quite low of people who flick that video, laugh a little bit, and then go on to use it to find value and strengthen themselves as Jews. I would say that number's in the not so many.
I have no idea how you would even gauge that.
However, what I do know is that every single person who's upset with her and says that she's going to go to hell for what she's doing, you guys are just making her get more views, and you're making more, and you're exposing more people to her. Which is the same thing we were all just talking about. But all the people who are defending her by saying there's more than one way to teach Torah, and it's adding them up. Do you think that
there's literally different yeshivas have different methods for how they rationalize and talk about and learn, specifically learn Torah? These are
Her saying is that people will see her Torah and see her videos and expose themselves to more Torah and get into Torah.
Maybe.
But is it a number that is big enough to worth defending this particular method?
Michael, we right now have 4 listeners. Okay? Yeah. If we had 1,000, we would do this show. If we have 1, we would probably still do it for that one person.
Yeah, but nobody wants to kick us off the air and we're not doing it.
Not yet, because nobody knows about us yet. As soon as we piss somebody off, which I hoped that we would do back in the day, when I went on my rant against Eshet Torah, and by the way, then we were even on a station that might have even had ties to Eshet Torah, so we really could have gotten in trouble, and nada. Zilch.
Because our fans expect us to use profanity to teach Torah. It's like this girl, this lady didn't invent profanity with teaching Torah, and we probably didn't either.
As Q-Tip would say, nada, 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 not a damn thing.
What are you trying to say, though?
We had no consequences.
There are no consequences because we're a podcast and she's on TikTok and she has no consequences either.
Yes, there's nobody could make her stop. You can't make her stop.
No, you can't.
But you can. What you can do is you can go. I'm sure. Here's something that I'm sure
of. We were cursing Torah
We're not cursing Torah. We're just cursing a little while we're talking about Torah, which I have no problem with.
Not only do you have a problem with it, you're giving someone Miss Tangent for it.
Well, that's not the only reason. And by the way, the only video that I've seen that had swearing in it was the one that you watched.
Oh, yeah?
I haven't seen any swearing in subsequent ones.
I'm just surprised by your decision to go with this woman to be Miss Tangent. Because that means that we started with Rabbi Sacks, and we're giving it to a TikToker.
He was Mr. Tangent.
No, fine, but you don't think we should raise the bar a little bit for Mrs. Tangent?
Okay, all right, so hopefully
it's a big deal.
So do you know Miriam Lipstadt?
One day someone's going to go, "Hey, are you an EGOT a tegot?"
I think her name is Miriam Lipstadt.
Do you have a tegot?
There's
do
a
you know
woman,
what a tegot is?
Yes, it adds the Mr. Tangent thing to it. There's a woman who they're trying to get. She has like an interview. They want to make her like the, I don't know exactly who she is, but they want to make her like the America's Holocaust liaison, like a Holocaust expert that's like a government appointee.
Whoopi Goldberg.
No, I think her name is Lipstadt, I think.
Like a poet laureate, but a representative, like the U, like an ambassador.
Something like that. If she gets nominated and gets to do that position, then she should be Miss Tangent. I went a little too far. Miriam, we're big admirers of yours. In a few years, you can be Miss Tangent, but not yet.
Bezrat Hashem.
But there's millions of not millions, but there's many different ways to learn Torah.
I agree.
And I think that,
but this one kind of hurts people. Plus, the Torah specifically says
it hurts people. Okay, I'm gonna say a really nasty thing. It hurts people that I like when they get hurt.
because, as you know,
it hurts people
that I like when they get hurt, right? Because I've said this 1,000 times on the show. I love it when uptight people get uncomfortable.
Yes, 1,000%. But, and again, I guess I tried to say this earlier about Whoopi Goldberg, and then I forgot to say it. I did say it. What does it mean to get hurt? You know, how does it hurt you in any way? God specifically says, I'll take care of the assholes. You worry about being a good person yourself. You know? Like, that's why we don't kill people anymore in Beit Din's, and we don't worry. And if somebody breaks Shabbat, we don't kill them. Because they told us to stop doing
that
shit.
Except that there are a large number of Jews who would have us return to that fundamental way of life.
Stabbing people for breaking laws. But the rabbi said no, so if they change that, I'm stopping
we're not going to get a Sanhedrin, so I wouldn't worry about it. But they would have a version of that.
I'm just, no way. No kidney out if we get to start killing Jews.
All right.
That's fine. My line.
The other thing I wanted to mention, and I guess we could just do it in passing, is like the Washington Redskins changed their name. And before, they canceled their own name. Meaning, they went from the Washington Redskins, for 2 seasons, they were called the Washington Football Team, because they didn't have a team name.
It was the Football Teamers?
And it was, no, the Washington Football Team, and they would just call them Washington.
Okay.
Or Football Team.
They decided
on Commanders.
Okay.
Okay, which is whatever. The uniforms are ugly. But what was funny about it is how badly they botched the rollout of it, Okay.
I guess accessible.
So basically what happened was a news helicopter was flying around the D.C. area, and they cameras are so good now, they got a shot as they were flying over the Commanders stadium.
Yeah.
They got a shot inside the building, and they could see posters, and they leaked it immediately. They were like, what? That's the team name. Look, you can see inside the stadium. The zoom on, I watched the video of the helicopter thing. The zoom is incredible. It just keeps, I'm like, I thought they flew over the stadium and they looked down and there was a giant logo at the 50-yard line. That's what you, no, it's like inside the windows and you just see zoom, zoom. I'm like, where's the logo? Where's the logo? Zoom, zoom, zoom. Where's the logo? Zoom, zoom. Oh, there it is. Wow. Anyway, so like they totally blew it and everybody's been teeing off on them because your team plays in Washington, D.C. What is going to be the nickname for the Commanders? Are you going to call them the Commies?
No.
Are you going to call them the Commanders? Right? And this thing also, like...
Comanches.
Yeah, that's going to work. You can't... And also, like, it ruins the... Right? Like, for example, Cleveland, we're Indians, right? Cleveland Indians, okay?
That's
Cleveland Guardians. It's the same rhythm to it.
Did you guys say that? You guys would chant,
Washington
Indians.
No. Washington Redskins. Washington Commanders. It has a different...
But nobody ever chants Washington.
No, but they won't have the same... But if there is a chant that they want to adapt... For a certain number of that has a certain number of syllables, they'll have to make up like new team chants and stuff.
I saw that picture that you posted of all the teams that have ever won Super Bowls before, and I was sad that Houston has never won a Super Bowl ever.
Here's a worse thing. Oh wait, which Houston? Houston that became the Titans have at least been to one, but they lost it.
Oh,
but
okay.
They went there.
Oh, okay.
Houston Texans have not been there. And
the
neither have the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Texans, the Jaguars, the Lions, and my beloved Cleveland Browns, who have never been to a Super Bowl. More teams have won Super Bowls than have not ever been to one. You had better luck making it to the Super Bowl than you do not ever having been there before, and yet my team has never been there before. It's so freaking depressing. And on that note...
Fair enough.
Wait, do you want to say it again?
No, I'm good.
Okay. And on that note, we would like to... Oh, by the way, I'm going to talk about this now, even though I shouldn't. Should I end the Zoom
and then it'll automatically end the...
Probably.
Okay. So on that note, that's going to do it for us here on episode 2 of season 9 of Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny. We love you all. We love spending time with you. We're glad to have you here with us. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Okay, bye.
Peace.
Right? Okay.